For January 19th, 2018, we talk about the Nintendo Direct announcements, Sundered, and we ask you what your favorite winter game is. Welcome to Level 227. My name is Cole Ross.
My name's David Meismith.
I'm Jella Prendez.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Hey, David, welcome back.
Yo, what's up?
Yeah, coming at us live again from San Francisco. First you weren't there, then you were there, then you weren't there, and now you're there again.
You got to keep the city guessing.
Yeah, you know, you got to sneak up on it. It's a city you got to sneak up on.
We're back up to three time zones now.
Yeah.
Well, but thank you for hopping on. You're living the city life.
Yeah. End up right in the middle of Chinatown, so that's kind of an interesting experience.
So my understanding is it's always a parade there.
Yeah, more or less.
Okay. Is that how you get to work? Do you just hop on a float?
Yeah. You just find one of the like lion dance things riding by, and you just hop on.
Yeah, you just join a dragon for a little bit.
Yep. Yeah. No, it was actually kind of cool. On I think it was Sunday. There was some business was having a grand opening, so they hired one of the kung fu schools in town to do like the dragon lion dance technically thing. So that's really cool. There is lots of dancing and much fireworks and. Yeah.
It sounds like I'm making fun of it. I'm not. I'm actually jealous because that sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. I kind of joked beforehand. It's only taken me about a week to get frustrated with tourists, though. So that's a thing.
Yep, I remember from when I used to live in Miami.
Yep.
See, the trick is to live somewhere nobody wants to be. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Well, I'm happy that you're back on.
Yeah.
Any cool stories from the past week of getting adjusted, David?
Not too much. I mean, right now I've only got a bed and pretty much no other furniture, so that's a thing. But you know,
it's a hyper efficiency.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you were shooting for minimalism, right?
Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
I am achieving that.
Nice. Oh, I've got a cool story. I want to say thanks to somebody. I had been looking for an SNES classic, and I'd given up just because, you know, holidays went by and stock didn't go back up. Allison sent me a tweet with a link to an Amazon flash deal, and I managed to grab one. It's coming on Thursday.
Yay!
Oh, nice. Yeah. So I wanted to thank her. That was very thoughtful of her to send that along.
Sweet.
Very cool.
And that's my story. How about you, Jala? What's up?
I fucking ran a marathon.
Yes, you did. R.I.P. So, your toenail.
Yeah, I know. And my burgeoning career as a foot model, that will never happen now because this is toenail number two. Yeah. I lost its brother last year to the Houston Marathon. I think what it is like some of the roads that we have to run on are slanted just so to where like the front of your foot is just like jamming up against the front of your shoe for like miles. And you know, that'll just like fuck up anybody's toenails. I do trim them just for the people who run and know, you know, yes, I do trim my toenails, but it wasn't enough to save it from that. So, and I wasn't racing it. So I ended up coaching a lady who like she just kind of broke down a couple of days before the marathon while she was doing like an easy run. And she was just like sobbing and nervous because she was just like, I don't know if I can do this. And so I just ran it with her and coached her through it and was just, you know, making sure that we were going at a good pace and everything. And I told her, look, Misty, there's going to be about mile 20. You're going to get passed by a dude in a wheelchair, a blind man, and several old people. So when we got to about mile 20, sure enough, we saw a person in a wheelchair going the opposite way outside of the bounds of where the race was being held. And I don't know if he was just like, you know, checking it out or if he had already finished his, but he was just like, he was like high sailing it. Like he was just like, woo, way zooming back real fast. So we saw that. We saw a blind man. And then after that, like for the last, you know, 6.2 miles, I was just like grinning and pointing out every hunched over old man that passed us because they might be hunched over, their back isn't straight, and they are shuffling. They look like they're shuffling, and they are wearing the same clothes that they raced in 1970. Yeah. But these dudes, like, you can see all the muscles in their calves working as they're going because they've been running for so long. Yeah.
They're hunched over for wind resistance purposes.
Right. But, you know, and then she's like, well, you know, that's discouraging. I'm like, no, it's not, because they all started somewhere. This is your first marathon. You're going to be that old person passing everybody up later on in life. So you just started this. So. Mm-hmm.
And then come the costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Well, that's cool. Fair,
pretty much everything is better with costumes.
You know, it's weird that you guys are mentioning costumes, because just today I got into this whole Twitter conversation with some of the listeners about manga and anime. And
No, don't do that. Oh, God.
No, continue. No, okay. Like what ended up happening is that myself and Mai were basically, you know, requested to cosplay Zex and Gally or Yoko, whichever name you want to use for her, from Gun or Battle Angel Alita. I would be Zex in this case, and Mai would be Gally or Yoko. So, yeah, and that's for like the two people who know what that is. But they will squee when they hear that. But yeah, that's a thing that mm-hmm. happened. So,
yeah,
there was this long conversation about cosplay. So
they want you. They want you to cosplay as those characters for a marathon.
Just like in general. But like, if I had a costume and it was something I could run in, I would run in it.
Oh yeah, and you've done that before. You did the superhero one. You did
I did the superhero
the
one.
Santa and run.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and the Santa run. I forgot about that. Yeah, when I was Terminator Elf. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on your marathon run.
That is now the way that people coin my running stance when I'm crossing finish line is like, this is your Terminator Elf look, because apparently I look the same every single race. And, you know, because somebody was watching the marathon finishing times from last year. Uh-huh. And, you know, they were like, dude, you look exactly the same. You were doing the Terminator Elf. I'm like, okay, the Terminator Elf. Yeah. That's the coin.
It's sort of like with weightlifting, you know, no one cannot look ridiculous while lifting weights
or playing bass.
Probably true. Are we thinking like bass guitar, bass, you know, sax, or just any guitar. Bass version of an instrument?
Any long instrument.
Okay.
Yeah. So when you're playing a trombone, you look ridiculous. Let's say 1/4 of the time, hitting those low notes.
Fair.
Cool. Ben, how about you?
Not much news. Well, I have stuff for the when we get to what we've been playing over the week, but mostly it was a huge, or not a huge, there's an ice storm in Texas, and so the city basically shut down, or at least the city of Austin shut down.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Houston did too.
So I had an adult snow day today, so that was nice.
There were over 300 accidents so far today. I'm sure now that it's nighttime, it's going to get way worse here. And so, like, I know I was joking about it the other week where I was like, yeah, it's funny how people react to the weather. Yeah, when it's like 30 or 40, people are freaking out. But, like, when it's really, really cold and then, you know, there's ice and people are seriously, like, dying of hypothermia out there and animals and everything. Yeah. People are getting in all these wrecks. That's another thing. That's not funny.
There's a thick red line at 32 degrees.
Yeah. it's snowy and icy over here too, and I work remotely, so nothing changes for me. I still gotta work. Wah. So
yeah, if I got snowed in, I'd still have to work too, so
yeah,
lucky you.
High five.
Were there people in your company that were out who don't work remotely, or
no, they all worked remotely today?
Well, all of that sounds good. Big stuff
Does
happening.
It?
No. I mean not the weather stuff. I'm happy that you're inside and warm and safe.
Yes.
And Ben, I'm happy you got your snow day. David, I'm happy you moved. I was summing all that stuff up. I was saying the good stuff. I'm happy
you almost made it out of that hole.
Well, we've got the usual kind of show for you: the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind. And why don't we get started with
the brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. The big, huge thing. Ben is the one that you brought here. Why don't you go ahead and tell us what's up with Nintendo?
Yeah, so the Nintendo Direct was last week, I think, on the 11th. So a lot of you probably maybe have already heard of this stuff. But they made some announcements. One is they talked about the Mario DLC that's coming out in February. It's going to feature a new game where people can run around maps, hide things in a certain amount of time. And then players will play the same maps and try and find what they've hidden. Ooh. So it's kind of like a weird Easter egg hunt sort of thing. But then you get points for cleverly hiding things in the map. So it'll be fun for people who have explored a lot of the corners of the map. And then they're releasing new costumes with the DLC as well. And then photo modes and stuff like that, similar to Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it's a pretty game. That's a good idea.
And they have this, they showed one photo mode that's kind of interesting where it's you can make a custom Mario coin given the screenshot of the game. It does a weird skin on top of, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It looks interesting. I think it's a free DLC. I haven't read into the detail that much, but,
I cannot get used to the idea of Nintendo doing DLC.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, some of the other things they announced, they're releasing the Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, the game that was for the Wii U, for the Switch, which I'm excited about because I did not play it on the Wii U, so I would probably play that on the Switch.
This is going to sound sarcastic, but Tropical Freeze is considered to be the best Sonic game in years.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No, that's just the way that I've heard it described by Daniel Rando. On Waypoint and stuff like that. It's supposed to be legit really good and nobody played it because of the Wii U.
Yeah. So that's probably a good move on their part then, to bring it to a wider audience. So I'm excited to pick that up whenever that comes out. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to come out on May 4th, I guess, for the Switch.
Nice.
And then the last one is they're adding expansion to Mario and Rabbids Kingdom, where they're adding Donkey Kong to that. So
neat.
They're pushing Donkey in a couple different titles.
Yeah, it's the year of Donkey Kong.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is some interesting announcements.
It'll be interesting if they continue on that line and Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle becomes some kind of weird Smash Brothers.
Smash,
kind
of thing. Smash Kong.
Yeah,
except... At what point does it become canon?
I don't know. I think Smash is not canon because they're all toys is the thing. But I have no idea if that is the case for the Rabbids one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was the event where From announced that they are doing the Dark Souls remaster, bringing it to Switch, and also doing a high definition kind of up-res of it for current gen system kind of things. And doing a full court press across all the shows. Definitely gonna play it. We'll talk about it. We're not bringing Bonfire Side Chat back, period. I'm flattered people want it, but a remaster wouldn't be the time to do it. So we'll talk about it somewhere, and we're going to announce what that is, so you don't have to worry about missing it. Also, yes, we know about it. There's that other one. Yeah, it's immensely flattering that whenever a Dark Souls thing comes out, people can rush into us.
Remember when I was talking a while back and I was like, if Dark Souls was on some kind of a handheld system, I would totally play it. And now it's actually coming to the Switch and I'm like, damn it,
you don't have a Switch. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't have a Switch, but that's just another reason to want a Switch.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of juice on that Vita, but eventually that Vita is going to run out of juice. Yeah. No, all this stuff is cool. I'm excited about the Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. That'll be fun.
Yeah, likewise.
Jala, what's going on with the Houston Outlaws?
Yeah, so the Overwatch League started up, and just one day before it began, Activision Blizzard announced Twitch as its partner. Blizzard's hope was that the matches streaming on Twitch will help make esports mainstream. There are about 35 million Overwatch players worldwide, and the league has teams from different cities around the world, including Houston. Some folks are worried that the announcement, like the Twitch announcement coming, you know, the day before the thing started, would hurt viewer numbers for the opening matches, but it seems to be doing pretty good if you ask me. I mean, like, they've got plenty of people watching it, so I don't think that was quite, you know, the big deal that everybody was worried it would be. But Kevin Lin, the COO of Twitch, said that the Overwatch League is making a major impact on esports by reshaping the industry with city-based teams, and since that's the way that other sports tend to work, you know, like actual physical sports work, that is kind of a big deal to have it set up like that, kind of regional style with, you know, different regions playing off against each other. The deal with Twitch, though, gives them exclusive worldwide rights minus China to all the matches, which are streaming in English, Korean, and French. China, though, is the country with the largest esports viewing audience. I don't know who they're partnered with for China, but it's not Twitch.
I mean, it would have to be one of it would have to be a, something associated with the state or something.
Yeah. Well, just because I was curious, I took a look at the OverwatchLeague.com at the presentation, and it's pretty epic. I don't even care about physical sports, so it's interesting because it feels legit like a physical sport league site, but I don't know. I guess maybe because I actually like video games, it's a little bit more interesting to me. Yeah, the Houston team is the Houston Outlaws, and their logo is pretty sweet. It's two guns and a star, and it's shaped kind of like a longhorn skull. Yeah. And it makes me kind of want to, like, watch it, even though from what I took a glance at, Houston isn't doing so hot so far. But they've only played, like, a couple of matches or something. So it's not like, you know, this is a few matches into, like, a 40-match season or something. So, you know, they could turn around. But
I'm kind of disappointed with, or I know, bothered with some of the team names, though.
I know. Some of them are really lame, like really lame, and the logos are really uninspired, and some of them are cool. Like, it's just kind of like
San Francisco are the Shock.
Is that about fucking earthquakes?
Yes.
Jesus.
Also, yeah. I feel like, is it a rule that sports teams have to be pluralized? Like, I mean, here in Ohio, we effing pluralized a color.
Right.
Well, the Dallas Fuel. What the fuck is that? Like, okay, that's like
a league. We sure do have a lot accurate. Of
the
lot
of fuel. Gas. I mean, yeah, I guess, but that does not excite me.
There's a football team called the Oilers.
Either that or like the Dallas Carbon Footprint.
Right.
Yeah. So. I kind of like the London Spitfire, like the London Spitfire and their emblem. I think cool is my logo. Favorite. Yeah.
Well, and the Shanghai Dragons, that's cool. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. No, so. This is like associating these with cities is good. That's a good thing because that appeals to the worst natures of mankind, and brings a certain amount of regionalism to the tribalism associated with this.
Yeah. Well, and then too,
I am kind of. I do feel kind of bothered that LA gets two, though.
Why is that?
I clearly, you know, if you're going to give two to some city, it should be the better city in California.
Which is?
clearly San Francisco.
All right. Say it.
Bakersfield. Yeah.
So. Yeah, but you're right. They've got the Valiant and the Gladiators, so they have two teams for whatever reason. But
Just the Valiant.
The Valiant, yeah, Valiant. Yeah. Single.
At least one member of their team is Valiant. The trick is to know which one, because you get it wrong, and that guy's going to come up behind you and take out your team when you least expect it.
Not in the game, either.
No. Right. But, and may it be known that when I dropped this story into the backstage chat, Dennis kind of spazzed out because he's been watching the league and jumped back into Overwatch as a result. So he's really enthused. So just insert in your minds, listeners, insert Dennis chattering excitedly about it in the background here.
Yeah.
Also, point of order. In America, you watch Overwatch League on Twitch. In China, Twitch watches you.
That's so dumb.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah. No.
So at least in concept, I'm really excited about this. I checked it out before the show, and I found it almost unwatchable just because of the bunny hopping.
That's a thing. That's a little bit of the Tracer being a popular character and stuff like that.
Well, no, it's literally everyone. It's not so much like the warping around stuff like that. It's literally just all of the characters at all times hitting the jump button. So it's like watching football if the cameraman was having a seizure.
I think they have safeguards for that.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I think it's either that, or actually I think maybe part of it is I'm trying to track down if there's a way to watch it with wider field of view settings.
I mean, it has to be... I mean, it has to be encoded in Twitch. Like it has to be like shared as a video. Like you're watching it with whatever their field of view is by default.
Yeah, yeah. But I think I would have thought they would like, you know, stream it with different, you know, not everyone on like ye old square TV. Like you would think there'd be a widescreen somewhere. But like, I don't know. I think that's actually maybe what's causing it is just the field of views zoomed in so much that it makes me really, really motion sick.
Yeah, I'm sympathetic to that.
But so I'm hoping they maybe like figure that out, because I mean the actual like gameplay and stuff like that seemed good. And it seems like maybe they've I stopped playing it myself like a while ago, and it seems like people are playing characters that like no one played at that point. So if they've kind of fixed the meta and you know, there's gonna be more variety, that seems kind of cool. But
how's the commentary?
I can't tell. Like I think sports commentary is like among the most inane communication that humanity participates in.
Okay.
Wait, sports or esports?
Okay.
Sports. Just in general. Like I feel like the percentage of people saying dumb stuff.
Okay. I will for Dennis's part, he is here with us in spirit. I'm going to read some of his commentary from his spazzing out in the backstage channel. He said that he watched most of the first week of the games. The production quality, especially the camera work and the casting, was top notch. Some of the matches were one-sided stomps, but most were really exciting to watch. Very good first impression for the league, and he has high hopes for it ongoing. So his response to it is very different from David's jaded, hateful view.
Well, I guess I wouldn't say so much. It's more just, I guess what I'm saying is when you ask, like, how is the commentary, it's like, well, sports commentary tends to be kind of dorky. Like,
right.
And it definitely sounds like sports commentary.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I think it's a good thing, probably.
Yeah.
Well, if that's what they're aiming for, then yeah.
I've been impressed by like Super Smash Bros. Commentary and like Magic the Gathering commentary on like how knowledgeable the people doing the commentary are, because they're usually people who also play the game competitively. But yeah, that was something I was surprised by, because yeah, normally I kind of feel the same way, where sometimes you can hear commentators in like sports, physical sports, and it seems like kind of innocuous, like, oh yeah, they just need to score more points. It's like, oh, okay, sure. But like,
There's some analysis or art to it. Good sports casting is something that, even though I don't really care about sports, I always like hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's just like you always watch the Spanish language version of any soccer match, even if you don't speak Spanish.
Yep.
Because it's still more entertaining.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, the real key, at least for me anyway, is that somebody who doesn't really watch sports very much, if they have good commentating, you know, going on, then commentators, you know, working over the matches, then I will be more interested in watching them, because their job is to get me engaged in what I'm looking at and to explain to me what's going on, or, you know, recap for the people who know what the hell's going on, you know?
Right.
So like, if they can manage to do all of that, then they are doing a good job.
So one thing I hope they don't replicate is the sports drama.
Oh, I like that though. I like the stories.
Oh, really? Well, not when I say drama, I don't so much mean like the actual like human interest stories, but I mean more the like reality TV type stories. The, you know, who has a beef with who and who's not pulling their weight, and you know those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So be positives. It's nice.
I'm looking at the divisions right now, and because there's a Dallas team and there's a Houston team, but they're in two different divisions. Dallas is Pacific and Houston is Atlantic.
How does that make sense?
I don't know. That's where the drawing line is, though, somewhere in between those two cities.
I'm just thinking that just means exhibition matches.
Well, the thing is that like among Houston cities, like, okay, Houston usually says Austin's pretty cool, you know, but and they even say San Antonio's pretty cool, but Houston has beef with Dallas for some reason, and like it's a mutual beef, and I don't know why, and whatever, it's just like this ongoing thing.
Yeah.
So you know, like it's probably like that for reasons, you know, like trying to play off of that beef that you know, the two cities have with each other for whichever reasons.
Oh, but put them in the same division so they can duke it out.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They should, but.
Well, is Ohio State and Michigan in the same division?
Big Ten, yeah.
So I did notice when I watched it before I pulled it up on YouTube, and I did notice it seems like there's a lot of like, I don't know, I guess like fan or like whatever, you know, like professional streamer commentary on it, which seems kind of cool.
Oh,
yeah. Cool. Yeah. You know, there was I had another story that I was going to bring, but we don't have time for it, but maybe I'll bring it up later, about like a new platform for devs to interact with and also pay basically advertising money to streamers and to get them more involved directly, the devs with the gaming community via streaming, and using that as their ad revenue, you know, like ad budget kind of thing. But anyway, I figured this one was the bigger deal, so my weird interest in random nitpicky things will have to wait for another day when there's not something quite as exciting as like Overwatch League happening.
Yeah.
So,
we can do my story.
Sure.
So this is this continues in the trend of, so like whenever Teenage Dirtbags does an episode on a band, there's a likelihood that one of the members of that band will die. This has happened a couple times. And for WoF, we'll do
with
a game.
With great power comes great responsibility.
with WoF, we will do
when a game. When Justin beat. No, I'm sorry.
with WoF, we will do a game. And the there will be like a remake or a sequel announced or something. This has happened a couple times. We just did Dungeon Keeper, which is an interesting game by Bullfrog, right?
Yeah.
Turns out some of the people from Bullfrog, the people who made specifically the people who did Theme Hospital, they're getting the band back together and they're doing a spiritual successor to Theme Hospital.
Oh
yeah, it's called 2 Point Hospital, and it has a very cute trailer out. Like, they've got an announcement trailer that's kind of in the entire thing appears to be the, in this kind of Wallace and Gromit style. I forget the name of the studio that does that. But yeah, they're just kind of like, yeah, we're gonna do this. Sega's gonna publish this. We've wanted to kind of revisit this idea for a little while. It's gonna be coming out in the next couple of years.
Cool.
Yeah. How did you segue from you guys being Grim Reapers to making a sequel of a video game?
Oh no, I'm just saying, like, different shows have different things that they spur.
and also, it's totally Wallace and Gromit looking.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. What is Theme Hospital, or what kind of game is it?
So it's like a simulation or management game,
okay,
where you're kind of like laying down rooms and designating like what their purposes are. So you want to have like an OR of a specific size, an emergency room of a specific size, and like taking and you're hiring your staff and allocating them and making sure that they're not slacking off and stuff, okay, in order to run the hospital. It's called Theme Hospital because it's part of like theme park, which is something Bullfrog did before, you know, as a kind of a, I think they did that even before Roller Coaster Tycoon was a thing.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm all about these little management kind of games.
Right on.
Yeah.
Wonder if anyone's ever pitched a theme park hospital. I feel like that's something America would have.
Mm. The land of impromptu dentistry. Yeah. So I don't know that I expected this to spur an awful lot of conversation. I'm just excited, and I kind of want to go buy theme hospital on GOG, but I don't know if it's on GOG or not.
It is on GOG.
It is. Oh, thank you.
I believe so.
Oh, David, you better hope it's on
GOG.
No,
yeah, I just scrolled past it, and I was pretty sure that's why I saw. Yes, it is on GOG.
Okay, you don't. Sorry, get my hopes
I was looking. Yeah. Anyways.
So that's mine. And David, you got a story?
So most of the other stories I was able to find were like crazy, depressing and horrible.
Okay.
Have we talked at all about the Ugandan Knuckles thing?
Oh, geez. No, we haven't. It's gross and shitty.
Well, yeah, but the story itself, though, is the Sonic Twitter account's response to it.
Oh yeah, I saw that. That's really cool.
Yeah. So basically, this meme. Apparently, there's a I don't know the name of the actual game off the top of my head, but apparently, it's basically like Second Life for VR.
Yeah, it's like a VR chat or something like that.
Yeah. And people found this like really, really like deformed model of Knuckles. And yeah,
you know, it's like a 3D version of an illustration made by a popular YouTuber for a review that he was doing of Sonic Forces, I think it was.
Okay. Yeah, and I had watched it, and he wasn't like making like
no,
it was people on the internet who took it and then did a bad with it. It wasn't the original guy's fault.
No.
So basically people somehow dubbed it Ugandan Knuckles and proceeded to go around I guess talking in stereotypical like African accents and using the catchphrase "Let us show you the way to make the world a better place."
Yeah, it's like a tagline or a popular line from a Ugandan movie. Basically, okay, going around speaking in that voice or doing just kind of really stereotypical like clicking language kind of stuff. Just about as shitty as you could be about an entire continent without being our president right now.
Yeah, pretty much. That's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
So, but in response to that, the official Sonic the Hedgehog Twitter account, which is generally awesome.
It's pretty funny. It's one of those like really funny brand Twitters or social media accounts, mm-hmm, like Denny's or
Arby's.
Moon
Wendy's.
Moon Pie. You know, any of those. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we covered it before. Like, my understanding is it's run by like some guy that is pretty much just some guy that works there.
Yeah.
But so basically they posted a version of, you know the meme where it's like they're like brain and then the big brain, and that's like shining and like all enlightened and stuff like that.
And then the big brain on Brad. Yeah. No, yes. It's like expanding brain or galaxy brain would be the name of the
brain. Yeah, yeah. And so basically their version, it starts with seeing a Knuckles meme, becoming Knuckles the tank driver, respecting other players while having fun as Knuckles, and finally actually donating to a Ugandan charity.
Yeah.
With the actual tweet being, "Let us show you the way to make the world a better place."
Yeah.
And then a link to a charity.
Yeah. So,
nice.
So it's like, okay, that's actually
awesome.
Addressing a shitty racist meme by encouraging people to give money to make a real difference in the area that is being depicted. Yeah. Although I have to raise a point in that meme, the biggest brain, the galaxy brain at the end is always the dumbest idea. So they really misunderstood or misrepresented. Yeah. They presented the best idea as what would be the worst in the format of the meme. I appreciate the sentiment that I get what they're going for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they almost understood the internet, but not quite.
Oh, well, no, good for them though. Good for them for not just ignoring it or not, leaning into it. There would be a real temptation to just be like, "Hey, this is our show you the way meme." And then it would be awful.
And I do sort of like that, they do kind of do the meme. Like, I like that it wasn't just a, like, "Hey, don't be awful, donate to charity." It's like, this is, kind of a, I feel like a way to say, like, "Hey, maybe not, but, like,
yeah,
you know, what I mean?"
Yeah. Well, it's not just saying, like, "Hey, guys, cut it out." That's it.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Yeah. Good on you, Brand.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Jala, what is the question that you asked the nice people?
I asked, "What's your favorite winter game?" And I left it ambiguous for a reason, and I love how everybody picked a different way of interpreting it. Thanks to Graham M. for the original idea. He originally suggested a summer game months ago at the end of summer, so it was stuck in my multiplayer backlog for a while, and so I've adapted it to the Snowpocalypse.
Yeah.
So
that's a very good idea. Thank you, Graham. I will get us started here with Jonathan, who writes, "Anything that keeps me out of the cold, but shows me the beautiful snowy hills somewhere."
Agree.
Yeah. Winter theme levels. I love me a nice level. I need to update that playlist that I made of ice level music a couple years back, because a lot of those videos have been pulled for copyright reasons.
Yeah. You should update it. It would be nice.
It would. That was fun. Let's see, David, what does Greg say?
Greg says, "As I mentioned in earlier multiplayer, skiing for the 2600 is a sentimental favorite of mine. Also, you spend a lot of time tromping around the frozen wasteland in Skyrim, and I always associate that as a winter game due to that. Plus, I played most of it in the winter."
Yep, came out in November.
Nice. Yep.
Yeah, November 11th of 2011.
Yep.
Man,
yep, I remember that. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And that game still keeps on getting released.
It's weird, right? Yeah. I'm tempted to get it on Switch, but that would be a dumb idea. That would be a stupid idea.
Aren't dragons cold-blooded? Like, shouldn't that not work?
Oh, they got fire inside them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the dragon is its own sun lamp.
They just growl a little bit to warm themselves up.
Yeah. Ben, what does Dylan say?
That. Dylan says, "New commenter, my favorite game to play in the winter is probably Metro 2033. I got it a couple of years ago after it came out from a friend for Christmas and just fell in love with playing it. It's also in a certain type of winter in which is just something extra. I still sometimes come back to it and Metro Last Light every year once the snow starts to fall."
Hmm.
That is one of my big, like, white whale games. I like, it's very much up my alley, but I've just never been able to get into it.
It's in the same zip code as Stalker. I mean, it's more linear than that is, but it's a similar kind of idea.
Yeah.
Wow, Dylan, your name is very similar to that of a person I went to high school with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Let's see, Jala, what does Sam say?
Sam says, while most of the levels are set in warmer places such as the Mediterranean or hell, either or maybe both, several cutscenes establish Bayonetta 2 as being set during the winter, so that's my answer.
I need to beat Bayonetta 2. I like the first one so much, and I just did not get anywhere on the second.
Mediterranean hell.
That's what we call food poisoning from eating a gyro. Yeah. Mike writes, I have two. Metal Gear Solid is so good at capturing the feeling of bitter cold through its crunchy footsteps, visible breath, and frozen rations. My other one is the Mass Effect series, which is my cozy winter game that I replay on a yearly basis.
Cool.
Mass Effect is a good answer.
It's a game that feels very cold.
Yeah, especially when you go to Novaria in Mass Effect 1.
Wah, 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 wah.
What's the wah, wah? Was your point just Mass Effect bad?
No, more just the especially on the ice planet. I know.
David, what does Lindsay say?
Are you punishing him by making him read now?
No, it was just his turn. It was his turn.
All right. Sure.
We have a lot of replies.
What?
We have a lot of replies. Keep going.
Okay. Lindsay says, Super Mario World is my favorite winter game. I got my SNES as Christmas for it. At Christmas as a kid, and it has always been my favorite game and console. Recently, I got the SNES Classic, and I'm replaying Mario with my son. Love the question. It was very heartwarming while thinking on my answer. And snow is finally falling. Yay!
And here's a photo.
And meanwhile, he was bitching to me about how cold it was like a week ago. But now that it's snowing, it is satisfactory. I love it.
He needed to have his heart warmed by the question before everything could
That's
be okay.
True. Yeah, just like the dragons, which can survive in Skyrim because they can just growl and it's fine.
Yep. Super Mario World is a very good answer, especially if you play it with somebody else. Yeah. Ben, what does Jason say?
Jason says, Max Payne was a great winter game. The threat of a massive snowstorm parallels the ramping up of the crazy painkiller-fueled rampage building as Max blasts his way through thugs. Yep.
Just because I'm going to say this every time this gets mentioned, you guys really, really need to cover Max Payne 2.
It's so similar to the first one, though.
In the same way that something that is better than the first one in every way is similar to the first one.
Just like you always have to say that, I always have to say it's too similar to the first one. Yeah. Jala, what does Graham say, the person who suggested the question?
Yeah, that guy says, When the snow is out and it's getting colder, it's time to stay in and get comfy. Certain games are the comfiest, however. Many years back, my winter game was Dwarf Fortress. Something about that acoustic guitar soundtrack and simplistic graphics just feel cozy. Nowadays, it's building games like Children of the Nile or Banished, or strategy games like Panzer Corps. The occasional CRPG like Pillars of Eternity sneaks in there, too.
I had never heard of Children of the Nile before.
Neither had I.
Yeah, it's from 2004.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah. I can definitely get down with that. Justin. Let's see. Justin says, The Long Dark. I realize a survival game where not freezing to death is your main concern might seem masochistic to people that live in snowy areas, but I am a desert citizen and have no such qualms. I like to make tea while my character is warming up by a fire.
Also, that game is on like my wish list and has been on there for a while. Like, I want to play it sometime. That one in Kona, that one's also like a survival adventure-y type game in
is
the middle
the
of snow.
Is that the water one? No,
it's snow.
Sorry.
Snow.
No. Yeah. I played The Long Dark back before I had a campaign. Like when it was still in early access. And it's a beautiful, beautiful game. I might need to go back to it now that it's now that it's, you know, wide open, or it's getting finished, is what I mean.
Not gonna lie, when Justin describes himself as a desert citizen, I cannot help but imagining him just like fighting off sand people and Jawas.
I picture him being a villager in Fallout.
I think about Mad Max, but whatever.
Mm, yeah. Now, Ben, what do you think?
Mash up all of these things, we would have a great game.
Or at least a t-shirt you could sell.
Right.
David, what does Gordon say?
Gordon says, I overwinter at my father-in-law's in an internet black spot. It's an opportunity to catch up on the puzzlers that can run on my crap laptop. Basically anything by Zachtronics.
Craptop. Sorry, I knew one of us was going to say it, and I needed to be the one who said it
first.
Zachtronics is good. Oh, I picked up Opus Magnum on a recent sale.
Yeah, did you see the thing with they got like rejected by GOG?
Yeah, they got booted by GOG, and there's no apparent reason why. And there might be, there might have been an update, but it has to be a misunderstanding.
It has to be.
Well, there's nothing objectionable about the game.
Well, and the weird thing is that like they have other games on there.
Yeah. Who knows? Hopefully it gets worked out. Let's see. Ben, what does Noah say?
Noah says, my mind went first to a more recent one, Until Dawn. Not exactly the most engaging gameplay-wise, but I had a blast playing this while my roommate and girlfriend watched. It encourages you to gossip about the characters and their flaws. Also, everyone always has their own impassioned suggestions for what you should be doing during decision-making portions. The psychologist segments that are talking to the player also act as a sort of party game where you get to learn more about each other's fears. Needless to say, I think the game is best enjoyed in groups. Shout out to the winter section in The Last of Us, which was a nice change of pace and stakes. Yeah.
Both of those are very good answers. I always forget about that winter section.
In The Last of Us?
Yeah, where you're hunting the deer. Yeah, that's fucking beautiful. And I so while you were reading that, I was thinking, has it been long enough since I played Until Dawn that I could go back and enjoy playing through it again? Because that's a really fun game.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember watching you play it, I think, the first time. 2 years ago or so.
Yeah.
Year or two ago.
I got two people out alive.
I think that was like one of the first games that I was just so irritated by the characters that I was just like, I can't watch this Cole goodbye.
Oh, you made a show of it is what you did.
I totally did. I was just like, this is ridiculous.
They are purposely written dumb.
Yeah.
Is that the one that kind of goes off the rails eventually with the winter stuff? And
I don't want that. You're getting really close to revealing what the twist is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's I was being vague.
Yeah. I would like to go back and at least try playing a little bit of that. See if it still hooks me. Cause this is a short game. It's like a 4 hour game.
If all your characters die, it is. Yeah.
Okay. Jeez.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Wait, so would that count as a successful speed run?
As long as it's not any percent. Let's see. Jala, what does David say?
David says, winter and CRPGs go together like hot chocolate and tiny marshmallows. Working on Divinity OS right now, so that's my answer.
Yeah, there's a reason why we do the winter RPGs in winter.
I'm totally down with RPGs in winter, so.
Yeah, everything slows down. It's time for thoughtful contemplation.
Actually, mostly I'm just fucking tired from training all year, and like that's my okay. I'm gonna lay in bed and just not do anything very exciting.
There can be many
reasons.
That requires
reasons. Twitch reflexes or anything. I'm just gonna lay here.
Yep. Let's see. Franz says, judging by Kanehurst Castle, Bloodborne takes place in the freezing cold, so that's a no-brainer. Also a good one. Kanehurst is such a good level.
How long has Franz been a Lovecraftian whore?
What do you mean?
Well, but like since his profile picture changed, that was New Year's Eve, it looks like.
Hmm. Yeah, I didn't notice the tentacles when it was just a little, you know, the little icon.
That's how they get you. No, I support that picture.
It's very good. David, what does Chase say?
Right about this time of year, I give XCOM Enemy Unknown a go. I'm not very good and tend to get the game into an unwinnable state, but I get farther every year. The game is the perfect blend of fiddly systems and game grid style playing that is perfect for a cup of coffee, a podcast backlog, and heavy snowfall.
Fiddly bits! It has fiddly bits!
Yes!
Do any of the XCOM games like ever get into like winter settings or Arctic settings or do anything with that?
Ben?
There's one fishery level that's like feels cold, but that's probably because of the difficulty as much as anything else.
I feel like that could be an interesting twist, like an XCOM game where if you stay behind cover too much, your guys start getting hypothermia.
A little bit of a map variant, yeah.
Yeah.
That may be a thing in the old ones. I just don't know.
Me either.
Yeah. Ben, what does Eric say?
Eric says, I love Snowboard Kids, even the weird DS one, but the original one had a great soundtrack and was a repeat rental for me when I was a kid.
How did combat racing as a genre just die?
I think it had its moment and knew when it needed to go away.
I feel like that is still... I feel like that is an innately great genre.
Yeah. I mean, like...
There's still Mario Kart.
Yeah, there's Mario Kart. Like, they tried. Like, there was a new Twisted Metal, and it didn't go anywhere. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I'm not an angsty teenager enough to be into Twisted Metal.
Yeah. I mean, Grid is pretty good, but that came out in 2011. Which was last.
That's the Demolition Derby one.
No, that one's more of like a futuristic Mario Kart kind of thing.
Okay, wasn't there a Demolition Derby one that came out recently?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Anyways,
Jala, what does John say?
John says, "I live in." Oh, sorry. Anything involving couch multiplayer, as no one wants to be cold and alone. Be it of a competitive nature or a cooperative nature. Personal choice goes to fighting games. Keeps the blood running hot and salty. I was looking at the wrong John, just for reference.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. I can see that. Let's see. Anji? I'm sorry. I really don't know that. Don't know how to pronounce that name.
I kind of want it to be Auntie Balin, though. Like, I feel like that would be an amazing name for some sort of superhero.
So, Angie or Angie, or I apologize if I get that incorrect. The Happy Land Adventures Christmas Edition game gave me some nice memories during wintertime when it was too cold to go outside. This was the first game I completed later in life. I completed the original Happy Land Adventures game. I have no idea what Happy Land Adventures is.
Yeah, I completely... Google will know.
Oh, it's like a... it's like a freeware DOS platform game. Like Asset Collector.
Oh,
platform.
Like
yeah,
a... Like
there
a,
it is.
Yeah.
Commander Keen?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. More tiley, I think. Yeah, and they've got the holiday expansion pack. They pulled a Christmas Nights.
Yes, Christmas Nights is cool.
What?
that
was very funny. Like the joke wasn't, but the way your voice cracked when you were doing the fake laugh was.
Yes.
That wasn't mean. Come on, David. What does Jonathan say?
Jonathan says, "I live in a state that's just hot and never sees snow." So I'm going another way and saying Winter Assault expansion from Dawn of War. It's the best I could do.
Makes sense. Dawn of War, that's the Warhammer one. That's kind of in the, oh gosh, not the Call of Heroes, whatever it is, Company of Heroes style. Yeah.
That's one that does a little bit of grand strategy, right?
Maybe, like, it's more about, like, managing cover and line of sight. I think it goes the other way. It's, like, down to, like, micro... micromanagement. Okay. Yeah. And then rounding everything out, Ben, what does Adam say?
Adam says, I love the snowboarding minigame in Final Fantasy VII. I put so much time into that. Unlock the time attack mode and getting so much speed and doing big flips.
Yeah. Yeah, the entire...
I remember having anxiety about that particular minigame. Like, I was not very good at it, or I was convinced that I was not good at it, or that I didn't like it. I'm not sure what exactly the deal was.
Yeah.
But I haven't played it since, like, I don't know, 20 years ago, or however the hell long it was that game came out.
Yeah.
Was there, like, a reason you're snowboarding in the game, or is it just kind of a diversion?
In the story, it's you and your team escaping from a snowy town and riding down into the giant glacier at the North Pole, and then you can go back and do it in the Gold Saucer. It's unlocked as an arcade game. I would actually expand this to say the entire Gold Saucer,
because the whole Gold Saucer is awesome.
Yeah, I just remember the winter after that came out. Spending a lot of time doing that. Like, it was like, I'm going to an arcade, but it's in a video game itself. It's games on games. Yeah. So thank you, everybody. Let's do ours. I don't have a particular answer for this. I just have an anecdote. Back in 2005. So this was like January or February of 2005, Ohio got its worst ice storm of many, many years. We haven't had, like, there wasn't one for many years before that, and there hasn't been one as bad as that since. We were out of school, David, if you'll remember, for like 10 days or something like that. We didn't have any power for five at my house anyway. And I remember, like, we had to, like, we went and lived at the church for a little bit because the entire, like, you know, there was no heat at the house. The church had the church had water. The church had heat. The church had electricity. You know, which meant, like, hey, guess who's taking a bath in a church sink? Cole has, you know, stuff like that. But I took my PC out there, my newly acquired gaming PC, and hooked it up to a TV and spent the couple nights that we stayed there playing Far Cry, the original Far Cry, not the open world one, just like the big level tropical one. And it was a nice little contrast between those two.
Yeah.
So. Feeling skanky, living in a church, gunning down people in a tropical paradise. Yeah. David, how about you?
That's tough. Like, I would say, I want to say The Thing, except that the game wasn't that good.
Right.
So if this was about movies, it would be The Thing.
Right.
I don't know. At least, like, a recent one that comes to mind is, Tom Clancy's The Division is, I don't know, kind of meta story for, like, why, everything's so jacked up and no one's sending in help is that there's this, like, you know, once in a century blizzard that's shut down New York.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot like Spec Ops, except snow instead of sand.
Right.
And it does some really good sequences of whiteouts. I haven't gotten to play it, but apparently the expansion basically does Players Unknown's Battlegrounds, except with hypothermia effects, so you have to, like, periodically spend time near a source of heat such as a fire, or you'll freeze to death, and it's apparently really, really good.
Cool.
But yeah.
Tom Clancy's The Division. Ben, how about you?
I'll say 1080, the snowboarding game for Nintendo out of nostalgia. Dang.
Yeah.
And then I'll also say the snow level in Modern Warfare 2, which is awesome.
Hmm. What's the context? Is that like in Russia or?
Yeah, you start out like mountain climbing, and then you get this weird like Michael Bay-esque thing, like a heartbeat sensor. That you use to shoot a bunch of people on, like, a stealth mission, and then you go out on snowmobiles, kind of like the speed chase scene in Endor in Star Wars.
And then the storyline falls apart.
He really likes that game, man. Yeah. Jala, how about you?
Yeah, so like I said, I usually end up indulging in some kind of RPG or other during wintertime, mostly because I just want to lay in my bed and not be on my feet, because this is like that's the most intense part of my training, and then the actual marathon, and then for me, like running into spring, I'm going to have a lot more stuff going on. So, you know, RPG time is extended this year. But yeah, otherwise, if you want to talk about like literally a level that looks like winter, recently when I was playing Vermintide, that snow level that was in there was really memorable, and I was like, oh, hey, this is appropriate for some of these people who are out in the middle of this, you know, bomb cyclone nonsense. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, when I was younger, Christmas Nights was always a thing that I would like to play. And then Guild Wars and Guild Wars 2, they have special wintertime events. And that's usually when a lot of people would log back in, because they would have some time, because stuff would slow down during the holidays, and then they'd pop back up again. And then I'd just kind of like reunite with all the people I was gaming with before. So, you know,
that would be a thing. All the Dolyaks.
Yes, the Dolyaks. I love Dolyaks. But anyway, that's my answer.
Cool. Yeah, well, I feel a little bit warmer now, and not just because I turned the fan down a little bit. Thank you, Graham, for suggesting the question. Thank you, Jolla, for putting it up. If you would like to participate in these, they go up on our Facebook page on Tuesday afternoons. That's facebook.com/thelevelpodcast.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the things we have been playing over the past period of time or so. David, you've been away. What have you been playing?
Sure. I've been playing a ton of Sundered.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So How's that going?
It's going pretty well, actually. I'm on the final regular boss. So I, according to the game, I'm at 91%. So are you guys familiar with this, though?
Jala has mentioned it. She played a preview of it or brought it to our attention a few months back.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I originally was watching that game because of PAX South last year. So it's been a while that I was looking at it, but I still haven't purchased it / played it. So
we should give a kind of a rundown so people know what we're talking about, because it did just come out recently.
Sure. So it's basically it's a Metroidvania. And it's kind of the plot line is that you play as, I think it's pronounced like Eshi, who's kind of this desert wanderer who comes upon these ruins and tumbles down inside and becomes trapped. And you basically uncover this kind of Lovecraftian horror that you have to defeat in order to escape. Mm-hmm. And it's got a really neat art style. It's all hand drawn.
It's like pen and ink.
And it's especially I really like when it does some of the like fire and smoke effects, it really has a neat look. It kind of reminds me of like the when we were kids, the kind of animated, like made for TV fantasy movies.
Yeah.
I forget any of their names, but it kind of has that sort of look a little bit.
Yeah. Make sure you watch videos of this and not just like stills. It's really impressive in stills, but like the animation mm-hmm. matches the quality of the assets, which is really fucking rare. And like the only game I've seen that do that recently is Hollow Knight.
Cuphead.
Cuphead as well.
Has, I would say, some similarities to Hollow Knight in terms. Well, I mean, I guess they're both kind of Metroidvanias. But one of the other neat things that goes along with that is the controls on it. The way it feels are really, really good. It does a really good job. There's a whole bunch of acrobatic, and kind of traversal moves you start with and then get over the game and course of the game. And it does a really good job where, almost none of them have like dead zones. So like in some games, you know, if you do like a roll at the end of the roll, you'll kind of be frozen in place for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But in this, the, it doesn't really do that. So it gives the game a really, really, a really fast, kind of slick feeling. The other thing that's kind of cool with that is there's kind of a big emphasis on it actually sort of has a physics system where you'll actually, you know, if as long as you're airborne, you'll keep the momentum of any moves you you do. Hmm. So you can do things like, you know, eventually you'll get a grappling hook and you can use that to like slingshot yourself.
But purchased.
Yeah. So yeah, so it's you know, it feels really good. Has a pretty good combat system. The big kind of criticism people make is the way enemy spawning works is basically periodically, and it seems like it's sort of some sort of combination of like being timed and also like how much distance you cover. Basically, some sort of alarm will go off depending on the stage you're in. It'll sound different, and enemies will start spawning and attacking you.
Hmm.
And it can sometimes get a little frustrating because, you know, it's kind of, you know, endless waves of enemies. Although I feel like part of what you kind of learn is just there's a certain degree to which you're not necessarily supposed to try to kill literally everything you see.
Right, right. It's about, you know, you're given those traversal kind of skills so you can get over that.
Right, exactly, exactly. So, I mean, overall, it's, you know, it's not too bad. One of the other things that I think is kind of neat is it does an interesting setup where, you know, as you explore, you open a, you know, you map out kind of large sections of the map, kind of large, you know, blocks of rooms. And those will then always be revealed on your map, and they're always, you know, connect up the same in the same position. But then within one of those rooms, the actual, like, architecture that makes it up is I don't know if it's truly procedurally generated, but it changes each time.
Okay.
And so that seems like a really reasonable way to kind of, you know, get the, you know, kind of roguelike type feeling while still having it be fairly bespoke.
Right.
Yeah. So
I'd be very curious to see what amount of procedural generation is done with that, because that art style pretty much screams like we agonized over every pixel of this.
Yeah, yeah. And I definitely think like there's definitely some really strong, they do a lot of really strong work with like the you know, parallax scroll backgrounds and, you know, stuff like that, especially some of the later areas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'd say my one real complaint with it is that, unfortunately, I think the later stages are kind of some of the weaker ones.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, I'm on the you know, kind of the, like I said, the last regular boss fight, and it's just incredibly frustrating.
Yeah.
Because basically, some of your most effective traversal techniques, like the in particular the grappling hook, can be interrupted if you take damage.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the boss fights basically revolve around, like, you know, the boss is weak, has a certain weak point, and usually it's, you know, moving around and you know, generally fairly high off the ground. So you have mm-hmm. to like platform up to it, or, you know, things like that. And the problem is the final boss fight, you know, you have to use these traversal moves, but then it just throws so many attacks at you that will knock you back down, that often there are situations where like I'd get hit by an attack and then there wouldn't be any way for me to get out of the way of the rest of them.
Right. A little bit of a Salt and Sanctuary problem.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a little frustrating. I think it's just, you know, a little bit maybe too bad that that's kind of the note is probably going to end on. Oh, I guess I should say one thing that's kind of neat is, you know, whenever you beat a boss or, you know, at various other points, you get a shard, and you can basically either use those to kind of ally with the, you know, channel the Lovecraftian horrors and corrupt one of your abilities that basically makes your traversal abilities better. Or you can use it to, or you can destroy it in order to unlock a new like technology upgrade that focuses around fighting the enemies.
Okay.
And that's kind of how they do the, you know, different multiple endings and different storylines, stuff like that. But that's just kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really enjoy it. It's really cool. Maybe this is kind of a stereotypical thing to say, but, you know, it's, you know, a game with a, you know, female protagonist that's not Caucasian. Cool. Granted, there's not a lot of backstory or personality, but still, that's cool to see.
Yeah, it's not like a Western setting.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. No, it's really cool. Like, would you say, like, how would you rate the difficulty of this? Like, is it a game where you're going to be pulling your hair out over it, or is it kind of like leading you along a little bit?
Sure. I would say,
is it like Dark Souls or is it like Light Souls?
Jeez, man.
Maybe some Dark Souls. No. I would say, you know, it kind of, when you first start off, and before you get used to it and especially get some abilities under your belt, the waves of enemies are a little frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt like you really hit a stride and, you know, it's challenging, you know, and I died, but it tended to be, you know, each run I would accomplish something and there was kind of a, you know, constant progression. And then I would say the last area got a little bit frustrating and this last boss is getting really frustrating. Although, I mean, you know, obviously the end should be more difficult, so that's not unforgivable. But no, I think it's a pretty good progression. I do like one of the kind of, you know, they have their loading screen tooltips, and one of them is just your progression should be non-linear.
Hmm.
It's like, okay, we're doubling down on this.
Nice. Well, cool. I'm happy to hear that A, that's out. B, you played it. C, you liked it. And D, it's good.
Yeah. So, other than that, the only real thing, played some more River City Ransom. Nothing really too much to write home about, although I do feel I need to inform you that not only do you apparently just chomp down and eat, you know, any drinks you buy whole, but the same is apparently true when you buy video games and books and stuff. And it's kind of funny because they literally like don't even bother to change the text from like you ate.
That's very funny and in keeping with the rest of stuff. Yeah, that's very good.
It's also, I'd be interested to know, I kind of touched on this last time, but how much this was true to the original versus being self-aware. Like a lot of the, in particular, those ones, a lot of the like books and games and stuff like that are kind of pop culture references. They're very kind of self-aware. Or maybe not self-aware, but you know, I kind of call out. It's like one of them is like called like Whips and Vampires.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. So I don't know if that's something that was in the original, but they're kind of entertaining.
Yeah, it sounds like they're doing like a Castlevania thing.
Yep.
Nice. And is that all?
Yep, that's all.
Yeah. I would like, basically the coffee thing was my only question about River City Ransom. And you answered that. So good to know. Ben, how about you? What you been playing?
All right, so I got the majority is like non-video game stuff, but stuff that I just will casually mention. Over the weekend was the pre-release for Magic, so they they released a new set, so they had like events for that. So I went to two events for that. One was just it was a midnight release, which I had never gone to before. But like on Friday night at midnight, they'll release the set, and you do a 4-round tournament. And so I think there were 12 people that showed up to the game store that I typically go to. So that was a lot of fun. It makes me realize how much I plan on going to bed early on Friday nights, because that was very jolting to my bodily functions, and just like, I don't know, I just felt very weird the rest of the weekend.
I should be waking up for a glass of water at this point.
But it was a lot of fun though. The new set's interesting. I don't know how much to talk about it, just because I think I'm the only one who plays it.
Is this the chaotic one? Is this like the one that's meant to shake up metas?
I don't know. It's a secondary expansion to the previous block. And the previous block, we did a news around like a while ago where they were doing like geocaching for, because it was like an explorer themed set. So it's just an expansion on that, basically, and adds to the tribes. But yeah. Anyway, besides that, I also got to play a board game over the weekend on Sunday. We played a 5-player game of Twilight Imperium, which I think I mentioned maybe last week. It's like a kind of like a daunting, like 6 to 7 hour long game. That's just like, it has a lot of notoriety around it for being like a very long game, but it's like a space type game.
You've spoken about it before, and I think the summation that was given either on the air or off was that this is the board game that thinks it's a video game.
Yeah. It's very similar to like Civilization, kind of different factions with different abilities.
Which is a video game that thinks it's a board game.
And I think I played this game once when I was in Cincinnati, so I probably talked about it already. Mm-hmm. But we actually played a full game and got to finish it this time, so I was happy about that.
Okay.
In terms of video game stuff, I continued playing The Evil Within 2. So I've gotten farther in that. It's still like a pretty solid game.
You don't sound like, so convinced, though.
there's definitely, like, I think I would probably like it more if I played it like on easy mode. There's a few points where it's like a little bit annoying, where it's just like certain creatures you kind of like instantly die to, or certain creatures where it's like, you can either try and sneak around them, or you can kill them, but it'll require like all of your ammo and you'll be completely depleted afterwards.
You can't like, you can't sneak kill everything?
There's some monsters you cannot sneak kill. I do not believe.
That is unfortunate.
And also like situations probably where you can't sneak kill somebody without alerting. Like, at least in the Evil Within 1, the sneak kills ended up being like, this is a way to open an encounter.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, unless it was specifically designed for you to ghost a particular section.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is here, too. Like, especially with like kind of like mob fights where there's like 4 or 5 people. It's like you might be able to sneak kill the first two, but then you have to actually like go guns blazing on the last few people.
Yeah.
But I mean, that part's still fun. I mean, the environment's still fun. Like, they do a good job of like mixing it up where like having basically like surprise haunted houses like dotted throughout the game. But then also just having like really cool kind of like mini open world areas that you can kind of explore on your own and just find a lot of like little like nuggets of interesting things. It's just the only downside is there's certain like boss battles that they'll put you in that are like, I don't know what the right word is. Just like maybe not fun or like, yeah.
I like how you're trying to be so diplomatic about that.
I mean, I like the game despite this. Like, right. But there's a few points where it's kind of a slog to get through. So
yeah.
Is there ever any payoff to how just nonsense its premise is?
I mean, I would say the nonsense itself is the payoff, maybe.
Yeah.
I know, like hopefully this is not a spoiler, but it's like the theme of the bad guy is like photography, and so there's like a lot of like kind of cool things they do with like cameras and photography in the game that tie into like it being also horror too. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was actually like really creative.
I just, but like with the whole like Matrix thing. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is an essay question that kind of bounces off of that. Prepare for me to ramble for just a second. One of the things that bothered me about the first one when I played it, aside from like the difficulty, instant death stuff, like that's mechanical, whatever. But from a thematic kind of standpoint, the idea that all of this was, you know, a battle inside somebody's demented mind and anything could shift at any time led to this kind of like massive disparity between the set pieces. Like, oh, now I'm in a butcher's house and now I'm in this ancient village and now I'm in a city that's falling apart. Like there was no like sense of place or continuity or like weight to anything that happened. It just kind of felt like this was Mikami saying like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if, and then you were playing the if. Like, does the open world give any kind of a kind of weight or continuity to stuff, or does it continue to be like a mishmash hodgepodge? And do you think that harms it?
It sounds like maybe it's like slightly more coherent than the first one. I haven't played the first one, right. So I'm just judging it based on the description, because it at least requires everything to be connected somehow to this world. But that said, like, usually it's like enter into this house and then this crazy thing happens and you go to this kind of like off the wall set,
yeah,
or like enter this house and then this thing happens and you go to this like off the wall type thing. So it's probably still does some of the same things that you're talking about, where it's like, wouldn't it be cool if we had this? But the thing is a lot of times it's like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
So
yes, it would be.
Yeah. And let me show you.
Always wonder, like, they're all like, when we go into this, you know, computer world, all these, you know, monsters and stuff start killing people. It's like, have you ever considered just not?
But they have to go over them. They have to find the main bad guy because he's doing bad stuff to people's brains.
He has to go in there because his, like, daughter's there.
A cherry bomb down the shaft or something.
His daughter's in there. He's got to save his daughter.
Yeah, it's the Tom Jane motivation.
I just want my kids back.
I feel like Silent Hill has taught us that never ends well.
It ends at a party, like a cult party or something. But yeah. I don't know. I still enjoy the game. I just think there's like, for example, there's like one set piece where it kind of disarms you in a certain way, where you have to approach an enemy that you're not used to. And it was great because, like, this was typically an enemy I would either run and avoid or, like, shoot with a sniper rifle from afar. So it was great because it taught you, like, okay, this is how the enemy works. Like, this is how you can try and kill it. But then this is kind of, like, the risk-reward of it. And so, like, that was, like, a great teaching moment. But it was, like, several hours after they had introduced the enemy, you know?
Geez.
So I think, like, there could be, like, some small improvements with, like, how they introduce characters and, like, how they teach you how to handle them instead of, like, just throwing you into it and letting you figure it out. But that said, I mean, I still have a hard time criticizing the game. I do think it's, like, a pretty fun game to play, and it's really polished. I think there's a lot of good ideas in it. There are a couple of annoying parts, but there's a lot of cool parts, too. So,
yeah. Nice. And it's fun, at least for a time, before that stuff starts great on you, right?
It's just, you know, it's salt and pepper. There's a lot of good moments and a lot of bad moments. So.
Yeah.
Not bad moments, but just frustrating moments. But if, say you're, like, really good at the game, then it's not even a problem anyway.
Oh, so. Yeah. You can rise to it.
So, just as kind of a point of order, I was checking the price to see how much Evil Within 2 is, and apparently Sundered is half off today. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That is a thing.
You said grappling hook and I pulled the trigger. Like, I gotta play Cuphead first, but yeah, that's
have you sorry. I want to hear about Cuphead when you have played it.
Yeah. Oh, Ben's talked about it. He likes it. It's good. Ben got it for me for Christmas and I'm excited to play.
Nice. Are you guys going to co-op it?
I don't know.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Although apparently I've heard it's supposed to actually be harder on co-op mode.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know if I want to do that. I want to play. I would like it. I would like it to be not hard, please. I just want to see the pretty pictures move. You play anything else, Moon?
That's it. There's Rocket League and stuff, but that's it.
Gotcha. Jala, how's Persona going?
Persona's a thing. So I finished the dungeon that I was on. I went back to town for a few days. I found out that I can date one of the girls in my party, whoever I want, and I get to the right social link level for. I can't date the dudes, though, which is heartbreaking because the main guy really just needs to date Yosuke for real. Like, I've been going on about that, like, every single time I've been on this, talking about this game. But for real, like, from the very beginning of this game, it's just, like, so obvious. So, anyway, I just unlocked the social link with Naoto, the last of my party members. But I may not have enough time to max that out, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm real close to having the other members of my team maxed out, though. Like, they're all at, like, out of 10, they're at, like, I think one of them's at 8 and the others are all at 9. So I just have to spend time with them one more time and then they will be mine. Anyway, the boss in heaven, the dungeon I was on, was a breeze. And apparently it's supposed to be a really hard boss, but it was not a big deal for me.
Is that the one that everybody was bracing you for?
Yeah, the other one. Because the one that I got stuck on before was the hard boss. You know, that is the first of the difficult ones. And this one, I think, is the one that everybody was saying, oh, God, there's another one that's going to be difficult. Well, basically, my trumpeter persona, the one that I mentioned last time that took 6 other personas in order to make.
It was a whole like Knights of the Round quest to do.
Yeah, it was, because like that's how I was grinding to get the specific personas needed to make this trumpeter, and that's like how I tolerated it. You know, tolerated the grinding I needed to get past that part of the game. And anyway, like this particular persona happens to have a skill called Debilitate, which lowers the enemy attack, defense, and hit evasion rate all in one go. And this persona also lacks a specific elemental weakness, and you know, some of the attacks even will reflect or will heal me. So even though this boss kept on trying to use elemental attacks on me and then even took my party members who all started using their elemental attacks on me, it was kind of like to no end. But then also I got the characters up to a level high enough that Rise, which is kind of like your support character who also is like chattering at you the entire battle, which gets annoying after a while. Right. She started popping out almost every other turn to buff my party. And so the enemy, you know, like the boss would waste a turn just trying to debuff me.
Okay.
So then like I just got in some free hits while, you know, like nice. Then Rise would pop out again and then buff me again. And then the, you know, there goes the boss, like, you know, trying to debuff me again. So it wasn't a big deal. And I also started the fight with a persona that automatically confers buffs to the entire party. So like I just like was set up already for this boss before I even came across it. I do so much damage at this point that I didn't have to use any items, and I only had to use a general group heal that wasn't even the strongest version, but just like the medium version of the healing spell, just like a couple of times. So it wasn't a big deal. Like, it really was not a big deal. So, yeah, if that was the boss that everybody was worried about, and, you know, because a couple of people were like, oh, that was a really hard boss for me.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, if that was it, then I'm good to go for there should be, I think they said at least one more dungeon. So I'm not done with the game yet. There's still more to it. I'm in 72 hours, my dudes.
Wow.
So this is like longer than I have played like most video games on Steam. I want to say like I am literally going to pull up my Steam right now so I can check and see how many hours like my max playtime is, because I really don't play games for very long. I have a revolving door. Once I'm done with you, you're out the door. You know?
It's very, while you're looking at that, it's very funny that you did the exact same thing with Persona 4 that you did with Final Fantasy Tactics, which was level. In anticipation of something being really hard, and then just like breezing through it, like, oh, I accidentally.
No, I did not level up in order to fight this boss. I was just wandering around through the dungeon just because I felt like wandering around in the dungeon.
Okay.
So on Steam, of all of my billions of games, 190 hours of Resident Evil 6.
Okay.
115 hours of Skyrim. And then after that, it drops off. Like, that's already a large drop, 190 to 115.
Right.
The next one is Left 4 Dead 2 with 49 hours. So that's, like, another big, big, big drop. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So basically, two games on Steam have I played longer than I have played Persona. So yeah. This is
so you're just taking a run and leap at that curve.
Yeah. So anyway, what's going on with Persona.
So you've posted a couple of screenshots of this.
I've been posting screenshots. I have some more to post too because I got comments to make. Yes.
It's a little bit weird. What is the deal with Thor wearing lingerie?
Oh, he totally has a thong on, for reals. Like, that's the thing that some of the people who are all about this game, I was making comments about it a long time ago about how some of these personas, even the ones that aren't even human looking, are kind of like sexy looking for reasons. And yeah.
Although I find it funny that by comparison, the Valkyrie, is fully clothed. So
yeah,
I guess we're flipping the script here.
Yeah, I'm down with that. She's going into battle, she's not just lounging around like Thor is.
Good point.
Yeah. Valkyries do all the real work.
Yeah. So that's the one of the things I've been playing. I haven't been playing a whole hell of a lot because, I've been kind of running literally like all weekend. But I did play something else. So in my co-op corner, I played Sniper Elite 4 with Sam.
Hmm.
So, yay! For folks that are just joining us more recently, Sam and I co-op Sniper Elite 3 and a chunk of Sniper Elite 2, and also some of Sniper Elite Zombie Army Trilogy, which we're still trying to work on Zombie Army Trilogy. There are some people out there that have it ready and waiting to go. We just haven't gotten to that because we've been playing Vermintide lately. But yeah. Anyway, Sam and I, we're doing this. So as you may imagine, this is a shoot man's. So that's the thing you do. It has solid mechanics. It's fun to explore and to play, but I mean, like, what is there to really say about it? It's, it's a sniper game. But the main thing I want to go over in talking about it, though, is the differences between this versus 3. This one's set in Italy. 3 was in North Africa. We played a couple of levels, and the maps in this game are much bigger with all kinds of optional missions and stuff. Aside from the direct goal of killing whichever Nazi you're supposed to be killing in the particular mission, you also have options to kill all the officers, to find and snipe all the eagle statues in one of the maps, to collect all the lore, to blow up all the trucks and so on. Anyway, there's a lot of different things you can do, mostly involving shooting things. There's also an increased focus in this game on climbing mechanics, and you can climb more stuff, and the levels aren't just, primarily horizontal. There are also areas going up vertically as well. We did some shit, get to like a sniper roost at one point to kill this guy that was, shooting at us the entire level. And we were just finally pissed and finally located where he was. To get there, we had to jump out of a window and then climb up a chain and then use like a windowsill looking type of thing on the side to crawl over. So Sam was commenting, he's like, man, this is like some Shadow of the Colossus type shit, the climbing. So, but anyway, so that's cool. It gives you more to do. There's also a bunch of new weapons and items that have multiple functionalities. So every item has at least two different types of uses, which may or may not be pretty much the same, but just with some slight adjustments. Example is a healing kit can stabilize and recover some health and some stamina, or it can just 100% heal, not replace stamina, just heal you. Grenades can be normal use or they can become sticky or so on. The X-ray kills, which are kind of like a signature thing that Sniper Elite does all the time, are more detailed now, and they also display for explosion and melee kills, not just sniper kills. So there also seems to be more of a story focused, because there's more talky bits. And when we started Mission 2, there was a whole beginning that was in like a safe zone where you're just standing around talking to people, and you actually get some characterization for your main dude. So he has like more of like he actually has expressions on his face. It's what? Amazing. Like, whoa, that's kind of amazing. So I don't know if I was quite prepared for that, but
I had to go sit down. Weren't you already sitting down? Well, in another room.
So anyway, like, there's also a lot more in-game documentation to read over if you want to immerse yourself in, you know, stories of all these soldiers that are out there and, you know, all their various things going on. There's apparently also competitive multiplayer and four-player co-op horde mode, but we are on the campaign. We haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm having fun with it, and I look forward to playing more. It's a solid game for sure, and it's definitely got some vast improvements over 3. And when Sam and I played 2, we had played it after we'd already played 3, and it was just so hard to go back to 2, you know, because it's basically like a stripped-down version of 3 that it's like, never mind. I think we're just going to go, you know, not play that, you know? So. I mean, like, if we had played them in chronological order, like release date order, then 2 would have been fine. However, right. You know, 'cause it plays fine. However, having already played the, you know, the third game in the series, and then having all these different abilities and stuff, and then having that taken away, it's kind of like, why am I going to do that? You know?
Yeah.
So.
Are all of these Sniper Elite games based in World War II?
That I know of, yes. Okay. I did not play the first one. All of the ones.
I think you're the same guy in all of them.
Yeah, you are the same guy in all of them. Other than, like, I don't. Again, I have not played the first one. I poked my head in to look at the first one after I played the third one and liked it, and I was like, that's a little too old and a little too rough. And then people who had played that game were talking about how, you know, the different janky things with it, and, you know, the things that you have to watch out for and things that are difficult about it. I'm like, that's all right. I have no emotional investment in this as like as a storyline that I need to follow. I like the game that I played, and it's fun. I do not feel the strong compulsion to go backwards, you know. So, but 4 is definitely good. So if you've never played a Sniper Elite game, 4 is a good one to start with. If you already have 3 in your you know, backlog or something, then play 3. You know, if you haven't played 2, it probably is a little outdated at this point versus other games, so you might want to try 3 or 4.
Yeah, the first 2 are, they take place in Berlin is the thing. Yeah.
So how much of like a mission in this is stealth? Is it like all stealth? You fire someone and then you stealthily escape, or is there any guns blazing parts?
Oh, well, here's the thing. The way that Sam and I play is kind of like we go back and forth. We might be sneaky and behave for a little bit. Okay. Do you remember, Ben, when I was playing, what was it? The Metal Gear Solid 5 something Echoes. I don't know. Whatever the hell the little preview was for Metal Gear Solid 5.
Ground Zeroes.
Yeah.
Oh, Ground Zeroes. Okay, there you go. So Ground Zeroes, when I was playing that, I was talking about how, like, I might behave and I might be real sneaky and I'd be spending, like, you know, all this time, half this mission sneaky, and then just the compulsion to murder everybody just takes over, and then, like, I
Jama
jump
behaves until it's time to misbehave.
Exactly, and then, like, I steal a tank and then off I go, and, like, that's the that's how that went. I, you know, go back and listen to that episode. I did it. For real. And then I tried to get out of bounds and it wouldn't let me. And that's when I died because I couldn't take the tank off into the wild blue yonder. I was so upset. But so like that's me. And Sam's pretty much like, you know, like he's the same way. Like he'll sit there and he'll be, you know, doing pretty good. But then what he does is he's trying to perfect his sniping and get like all the headshots and the whatever to get all of the points and whatever that he can. So, you know, he might try to sneak into a position so that he can get a better shot, and then he ends up inadvertently raising an alarm and being seen, and then that's how he does it. But for me, I just, like, jump out there and just start killing dudes, so, you know.
But you can do full-on sound masking, right? Like, wait till, like, lightning strikes and stuff like that. Oh, no.
There's a lot of generators and stuff that you can rig up for, you know, sound masking. There are loudspeakers that also will mask your sound. There are planes that go overhead or cars that go by or boats or whatever. Like, there's a bunch of different things that can mask the sound if you really want to go 100% stealth. That is not the way that I go. But that is a thing that you can do, yes.
Mouthy gulls.
Pretty much. So.
Well, aren't you playing as Fairburn?
I don't know. like you're asking me to mention the story. No.
I think the guy you're playing as is like the father of like U.S. military martial arts.
He could be. But anyway, like they apparently added a bunch more melee stuff, but I haven't played with it at this juncture.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess they would have to have added more melee stuff because they have kill cam for melee now. So there must be new and creative ways to murderate everybody up close. So.
Sniper Elite 4.
Fun stuff.
What else?
That's it. That is all.
Okay.
I played running. An endless runner all weekend.
An endless runner called life.
Yeah.
So I have been playing, trying to figure out how to use this incredibly inconvenient bottle opener that my mom bought me. So at Christmas, my stocking had two items, which were obviously from Five Below. Do you guys have Five Below's up there or out where you're at?
I've never even heard of such a thing.
So there's,
yes, they exist here.
Yeah, there's stores that are like dollar stores that are aimed at like teens. So you go in there and it's like, oh, everything is $5 or below. You can get like, you know, notebooks and Trapper Keepers and stuff like that. Like, you know, some T-shirts, some very shoddily made T-shirts and stuff. The stuff that they obviously got this for me. They got me two cool things. So they got me the, skull-shaped salt and pepper shakers. And I'm like, yes, please. Okay, cool. And the other thing was this bottle opener that is shaped like joke teeth. Okay. So I'm holding this. It's not like chatter teeth. It's not like a little like machine that'll go clack, 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 clack. No, this is like picture just a curve of teeth with gums in the middle. With gums in the middle, like you know, like gums are. No, gums on either side, and in the middle, like where your front teeth would be, where your chompers would be, there's like a bottle opener. Okay, now it is not arranged in such a way that the curvature of the teeth would be used to like let you like get some leverage to pop something. No, the motion that you have to enact in order to pop a top off of a bottle is against the curvature. So like it's off to the side, which means you have no leverage working for you.
Okay.
I don't know why my mom bought this for me, because I like skulls. I've never said I like teeth. Teeth are part of skulls. But
wait, can you put it in your mouth and then appear to like bite the top off of a bottle?
Good question.
That would be hard for.
I mean, let me see here. Well, it's made in China, so it's 100% lead. Let me. No, I can't fit it in. It's very big. It's a good try, David. That's a good idea. Thinking outside the box. So I mean, I opened up a beer with that, and that's fine.
I feel like, what is the politically correct version of it? That's what she said, Joe.
It's fine. I think it's still. I think right. I've not read a Medium post about that being especially problematic. So
fair enough.
I think that one comes baked. It comes baked in being kind of shitty. So there's no illusion about it. Games I have been playing, just stream stuff. Honestly, I've been playing a little bit more Golf Story, on my own, but I don't have an awful lot new to say about that. Honestly, it's just fun top-down golf game.
I really want to play that.
It's very good.
I watched Nick play some of that.
Oh yeah. Any questions about it?
No.
So do you think if
this, nice try, Cole.
I know the normal way this works, but do you think if I like mailed you booze, could you then mail me the game? Like, could we do like a long term, long distance version of this thing?
I only ever drink outside of the post office on very specific days. But I don't like to publicize that because people know the PO box number and they know where I go to get the mail. So we'd have to really coordinate it. But I'm not that interested in sending you my Switch. Sorry.
Dang it.
Yeah. No, Golf Story continues to be fun and charming. Man, I love a golf video game. The other stuff, outside of playing Armored Core 4 for Answer for WoF, which is a really good game. I normally don't talk about those on here, but this was a surprise to me how much I like it. If you have a PS3 or an Xbox 360, consider going for that because it's really good. The stuff I can't actually talk about is the things that I streamed this past weekend. So Chronicle of Innsmouth and Outlast and Outlast's expansion pack.
Yeah, I saw some of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
So Chronicle of Innsmouth, I went into this with pretty high hopes, honestly, because, hey, it's a LucasArts-style adventure game that is set and loosely based around, you know, Shadow over Innsmouth, a very good, you know, novella short story by H.P. Lovecraft. Springboard for a lot of cool stuff that I like. I think, like, hey, this seems like a match made in heaven. No, it is not. I was about to give it the benefit of the doubt for having a small team, but it has a huge team. Yeah, it's really weird because it certainly makes jokes like it's a LucasArts game, but that undercuts any of the horror to it whatsoever.
It's got some really unsettling animations to it.
Oh, the close-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a 3-hour game, and about 2 hours in, you start going into this like full-on exposition mode. It's never done like full-on close-up character portraits up to this point. And then what it shows you are just these kind of grotesque Hotline Miami-esque limited animation MS Paint / kid pics kind of things that are really I kind of either want to leave my body or scream forever when I see them, and I'm not normally the kind of person who exaggerates like that. It's the most unsettling thing in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the puzzles in it are not very good, and also there are action sections and stuff. Like, I feel bad shitting on a game, but like, you know, I have to be critical of this. It's I went into it wanting a lot, and it didn't give me any of it, really. So if I wasn't playing it for a stream, I would have dropped it. I'd be like, okay, I pay $10 for this, whatever, I can just wash my hands of it. But no, I embarked and I saw it through to the end, and it really didn't redeem itself. It didn't know what it wanted to be. Any questions?
Let's talk about a good game.
Yeah, let's do that. So Outlast. Outlast is good. Outlast is a game that's kind of in the vein of Amnesia. People probably know of this. Kind of the premise is you're a photojournalist who gets a tip about some really shady stuff that a corporation is doing in this old asylum that is thought to be abandoned. And you go there and find out that, yes, there is an experiment that is transforming people and deranging them further. And the inmates have kind of had this riot and they've taken over the asylum. And you end up being trapped inside and kind of at the whim of both the corporation and, you know, the people who are housed there. And it's truly horrific. There's no combat. You end up running a lot. You end up hiding a lot. Like, it's one of those games where you walk up to a locker and it says hide in locker.
It's foreshadowing. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. we'll get to Whistleblower. But yeah, it's so I chose to play this because for as much as I like streaming horror games, it's been a while since I've been scared by a game, honestly. Like, games can be stressful or they can make you kind of like jump, like a jump scare is going to work on you because it's a lot of noise and a sudden image. Like, okay, fine. And people laugh when they hear me go, ah! And that happened a couple of times. I went in, like, I was keeping Outlast in my back pocket because in the past it's been like, oh, this game is too stressful to play. You know, like I played a little bit of it. and that is pretty much the case. However, it really doesn't rise above like the level of stress. Like, okay, I am running, and something is going to sneak up on me and jump out at me, kind of stuff. So it ends up being more of like a stealth game than anything. At that point. And I don't know how I feel about that as like a failure to really like get under my skin. But it ends up working out as being like a faster paced alternative to something like an Amnesia, right? In a modern setting that has this really cool, like, you don't have a flashlight, you have a camcorder with night vision and an infrared LED. And you have
and
to.
Yet, despite having all of this preparation, you don't have a gun.
he's there to get a story, not kill people.
What type of investigative journalist doesn't carry a gun?
I investigate with bullets.
Yep. I work with ink and
lead. I'm just saying, when your job description is makes very powerful people very angry at you, I feel like... Sorry.
Yeah. So there's some body horror stuff in this. Like, it gets really unsettling. The rubber really meets the road with the DLC, which is... And it's going to sound like I'm exaggerating or whatever. The last thing I want to be is one of those people who streams stuff and like yells and screams, ah, fuck, whatever. Like, that's not what I want to be. But there is a sequence in The Whistleblower that made a bile bubble rise up and I had to spit it out in the trash can by my desk. It gets pretty intense to the point where like I had to stop it and say like, hey, if people don't want to watch this, I'm going to give you 60 seconds if you want to leave. Yeah, like no hard problem, you know, like no hard feelings. Go ahead and go, because like the whole back half of The Whistleblower stuff is like it is unsettlingly sexual and misogynistic in a way that is played for very, very effective horror. Like,
and would you say is it a good, like, is it used for a good thing or
I mean, it's hard to say, like, for a good thing. Like, the person gets their comeuppance.
Like, I mean, is this, like, exploitation film, or is this, like, legitimate horror?
Nothing bad happens to a woman. A lot of bad things happen to a dude. But it's very much, like, think of it like a Silence of the Lambs kind of thing. Like, it is, and this is mild spoilers or whatever, but, like, I should just lay this out so it's not being coy, so people can decide if this is... you know, something they can handle. One of the kind of like boss monsters, one of the boss people who's been kind of driven insane by this experiment, serial killer. He used to like go after women. He was looking for the perfect wife. He was made crazier, and now he is looking among the population of all male inmates in order to find his wife. And he thinks that by basically buzzsaw surgery, he can, you know, be the perfect groom and sire his child. It's really fucked up. And they do a lot with, let's say, controllable helplessness is the TV tropes term, where you can control the camera and not much else, and terrible stuff is happening.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Skyrim. Sorry. I don't like the game that much.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah. It really upset me. Like, not like, you know, morally or whatever, but like it shook me in a way that a game hasn't shook me. And so I guess I should have been careful what I wished for. So people who, you know, might be a little bit kind of put off by violence that gets really, you know, kind of in the neighborhood of like sexual violence, might want to stay away from that. It really caught me off guard, because people said, oh yeah, like the DLC steps it up, and, you know, really makes it, you know, much more intense than the main game. I didn't expect it to go in that particular way. And if I knew it was going to head that direction, I would have exercised more caution about broadcasting it. Right. Mm-hmm. That said, though, it got a rise. It was effective. I don't know that I can say if it was like, okay, so yes, it was an effective product. I can't say what the societal cost of it is. Yeah, who knows, whatever. It's not glorifying anything. Like, it's played for horror. You're meant to go into it and be uncomfortable. Like, so
it's almost like Dead Space being too scary of a game. It's like, you did your job too well, but you have an unplayable game.
Yeah. I'm excited though. I want to play Outlast 2. There are mixed opinions about how well that kind of follows up on it, but like I'm not so turned off. I just want to, you know, make it a little bit more clear that like, oh, that stuff is in play with this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jolly, Ben, you two watched, like, what were your kind of impressions of that? Jolly, you didn't seem too impressed.
No.
I don't think I saw anything in the latter half. Most of what I saw was just running around and being chased by people who looked, I don't know. I don't know how to describe them other than, like, the cover of the video game, like, Condemned or whatever. The guy mm-hmm. with the blocky guy or, like, whatever, the one Thanos guy from the Marvel movies. Looks
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
So in addition to being an insane asylum, it was also like a powerlifting gym.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Well, there are ding dongs all over the place. That's my impression of a powerlifting gym, right? No, it's a game that doesn't shy away from male nudity, which I think is pretty cool, actually. Not from, it's not played for like sexual arousal or whatever, but like it's unsettling when somebody's coming at you with this flopter copter a flopping, you know. and they've got several enemies, like, so there are two kind of persistent enemies who follow you in the main game, who are these twins who kind of speak calmly about which one of them is going to get to eat your tongue and which one's going to get to eat your liver, you know. And just kind of their buck nakedness and their placidity as they're chasing you around with knives and stuff is really unsettling. But you have a lot of like kind of basic enemies who are running around with the power, kind of the power play combination of tops, no bottoms. So so shirt. But I guess what swinging down there below. Yep, that's right. You got yourself a ding dong.
Like they invested in the programming to do the physics of that correctly, and they're like, all right, we got to use it now.
to be fair, I mean, I'd rather it be you know, kind of flopping than the alternative.
Yeah, this is true. Very true. So yeah, but like I don't know, like, okay, we've discussed before my lack of reaction to horror stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, okay, there's a dude chasing me. All right. And whatever, like, you know, I was mildly entertained by the chat and by you and your reactions, because, you know, I don't react to anything because I am dead and cold inside already.
I just said that I played this game specifically because I don't feel anything anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, but you were reacting though, dude. So
oh, true. Yeah.
You had reactions and I was just like, all right. You know, you're like, oh, there's a thing, and I'm like, yeah, there is a thing.
When the computers rise up, Jala will be the only one that will be able to pass.
So yeah, and then like I didn't end up seeing all the whistleblower stuff because I got tired, because you were streaming that the day that I finished my marathon. I was tired, yeah. So I went to sleep.
You know, the days.
You had already been through enough torture.
I already like ran for, you know, forever. Yeah, yeah. And coaching somebody, and it, you know, I was up since like 2 a.m, so I was ready to go to sleep. But
yeah,
so I didn't see the really disturbing stuff, whichever that was, so you know, whatever, like of what I saw, no, I was just like, okay, it's a game.
Yeah.
Do you have the video up on Twitch or like YouTube, or can you go back and watch your playthrough of it?
Yeah, it's up on Twitch. So what I've been doing with that is I've started editing those, like putting on title cards and taking out some of the downtime, and yeah, you know, like in the middle. And so there's a little bit of a delay. I want to get to the point where it goes up on YouTube like a day or two after the broadcast. Mm-hmm. However, if somebody wants to watch it, like it's on Twitch on VOD, it's just not, you know, doctored.
Gotcha. Okay.
Who knows if that's a good idea or not? It's, you know, I'm using it as an exercise to like, oh, like I like editing stuff and I don't really get a chance to do that anymore. This is a good low effort way to do it. So, yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love how like in the Hex Crank channel, you've been like, so I wanted to play Corpse Party, but Jala wants me to be. You've mentioned it a couple of times. Yeah. I want to play Corpse Party, but Jala, damn it.
Yeah. No. I just, you asked me nicely.
Yes, I know. I did. I would like.
Wait. What's going on?
He wants to play Corpse Party on the stream, and then he was like, I warned him at the beginning of the year. I was like, this coming weekend, I have, you know, a XYZ number of parties. I'm going to be out, you know, for multiple days, you know, in a row of the weekend. So I won't be around for the stream if you decide to stream Corpse Party.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, he was asking me if this last weekend, if he could stream it. And I was like, well, I'm going to be running my ass off. I'll be going to sleep real early. So, I mean, I'll be around for some of it, but not all of it. So,
yeah. No, I was saying that, like, oh, that's totally on deck. We had talked about doing that on the level. People were probably curious when that was going to start. Oh, that was just a way to say, like, you know, don't worry, that's coming. You know,
this next weekend, I'll be honest, is clear.
Between that, the letter, and Doki Doki whatever, I cannot keep, like, which of the games about, you know, young Japanese teens being murdered people are talking about.
The letter looks real good. I see Chris Schley posting stuff on Facebook about that. Yeah. Yeah, so.
Although, like, most of what I gather about that, like, I pretty much every time I see anything from Chris about that game, it's, like, bitching about some character who drinks absinthe. Like, he's thinking against this game, drinking absinthe. So, anyway.
I feel like, I don't know, like, maybe they're using this against him, but I feel like he should be, he has watched approximately all of the horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he should be, if anyone's going to be able to keep their characters alive, it should be him.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll check with you again when it gets closer to the weekend, Jala, about if it's still okay to do because I really don't want to play it when you're not there, because I know you don't watch VODs.
Yeah, I don't. I sure don't. But yeah, I'm legit going to be around this weekend, not doing anything.
Yeah.
It's my chill weekend.
Cool. So I'll get it, you know, at least I've been doing about 6 hours a weekend, so it'll probably take 2 weekends to cover that one. Yeah. Cool. Well, that's all that I've been playing. Trying to figure out. Let me try this again. No, bottle opener is not going in. And I'm really worried about the lead in that paint.
Welcome to my life.
Is that what you do with your time, David?
No, it's legitimately like me outfitting my house in the middle of Chinatown. It's been like, which things do I trust not to poison me if I buy them?
Ah, something's going to get you. Just roll the dice. Do y'all want to button it up?
Buttons.
The credit.
Belts.
No.
Come on.
Well, belts are okay. Belts can have buttons on them as decorations. They have buckles.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Also,
peace descends on the level.
Also, wear belts. You know, they're fun and nice.
You know, I forgot to mention it. You know how I said love and peace last episode? For, like, the two people who caught it, which, by the way, those two people actually did message me and tell me that they knew what I was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, the boss I just fought in Persona 4 Golden, he has, a giant nightie on or something. And, like, on his nightie is a heart and then a peace sign. So it's love and peace on this boss that I just fought. And I was like, oh!
What a weird coincidence.
That's awesome!
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. Let me try this. Yeah. Oh no. Okay. I threw it across the room. So thank you everybody for listening. If you want to help out the show, you can rate or review it in iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever they're calling it now. Google Play lets you rate and review stuff as well, which is appreciated. And also if you want to tell your friends, that is really the only way that we can grow. We're on the kind of the verge of having some cool network stuff to announce, but not yet. Just going to tell people to keep their ear to the ground. Otherwise, the streams and stuff that I talked about, those are being archived on YouTube at youtube.com/duckfeedtv. That is alongside. So the Hex Crank Live stuff goes up alongside Nick's Comrade Archives. He's doing Check It Out Comrade as a streaming show now. Jello mentioned watching him play Golf Party, or was it Golf Party? Play
Golf Story.
Golf Story on there, and also Gary is doing a series where he reads out Choose Your Own Adventure books. That is a show.
That's
he
also
calls...
funny. I've caught that before.
He plays them with permadeath rules, and it's very good.
Uh huh. It's pretty great.
Yeah. But yeah, that is called Choose Your Illusion too. It's very good. He's in the middle of a Lovecraft inspired one right now. Otherwise, you can find me on Twitter. I'm Cole Ross. You can find me on Twitter at Cole Ross.
I'm David Mysmith on the interwebs.
I'm Jolichon in places.
I'm Ben Merkel at Merkel B on Twitch.
And stick around for some titles. Okay. I didn't write any down.
I have a bunch, so it's cool.
Okay, go.
Go for it.
All right. So, Join a Dragon.
Okay.
That's talking about David trying to get anywhere in Chinatown.
Okay, yeah.
You said this one. I think I might have wrote it down wrong. I don't know. Maybe I didn't. Land of Impromptu Dentistry?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Feeling skanky?
Is there a G on that feeling?
Hell no.
Okay.
Hell no, G.
An endless runner called life.
Ooh, I like that one.
Ouch.
Teeth are part of skulls.
Okay.
And floptercopter.
To be fair, floptercopter would balance out our previously noted tendency for boob titles.
True. Who else has one? David, you got any?
I do not.
Okay. Man, we both slacked. I feel bad about that. Ben, how about you?
I also slacked.
Holy
this week.
Shit.
That is okay. I carried the team.
You did.
Thank you, John. I like an endless runner called life.
Sure. Okay. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Side note, have you yet painted the skull shakers in like Dios de los Muertos colors?
No, they're like chrome, like they're shiny. They're shiny. It's not the kind of skull salt and pepper shakers I would have wanted. But they're the ones that I got. So
they're the ones you needed.
Yeah.
Wow, Cole, remind me never to give you anything ever in life.
I talked about them and said they were very cool.
I'm giving you shit. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I like them. They're good. They're small. You know what I don't like is a salt and pepper shaker that feels like they're designed to brain somebody with. Like I'm not out here shaking pepper out of a Maglite.
Wow.
Okay.
That's the exact opposite of what I look for in a salt and pepper shaker.
In anything.
Yeah, well, that's because also like to carry around knives at all times if possible, so.
Yeah.
You never know when you're going to have to open up a package for various definitions of package.
It could be something you got from Amazon, could be a torso.
Of course, you know, you say open up a package and my brain went back to floptercopter.
you never know when you're going to have to let the floptercopter escape.
Yeah, because you're not going to go
stand by that statement.
Lift off. Okay. We're getting too close to whistleblower again. Cool. Well, I'm going to go. I'm going to get this edited and slap it up right quick. What? Slap it up? Is that wrong?
Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
It's hard to segue from flopter-copter.
True. I'm going to have to cut the audio eventually. Usually I cut it on. So I hope you guys have a good week.
Okay. I hope you have a good week too. Goodbye.
Take care.